He's so good. Thank you so much, worship team. Well, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And we just want to honor and bless all the moms in the house this morning. If you're a mom, just raise your hand this morning. Awesome. Awesome. That's about half of us. But we bless and honor you this morning. You are amazing people, and we thank God for you. This morning we have just a special blessing. We have, first of all, she's a mom. She's a husband. She's an amazing worship leader. She's a pastor's wife. But most of all, she's a woman of God. And we want to welcome this morning to hear from her. Would you welcome Jessica Gomes?
Amen. He said, I'm a husband. Yes, you did.
I meant she has a husband. She's a wonderful wife. Oops. To that man over there.
Oh, my God. God is good. God is good. God is good. Amen. Our God is good, and that's his nature. There is nothing we can do about it. That's who he is. This morning, yesterday, I spent the day telling Dunstan, I'm going to stand at the pulpit, and then I'm going to say we're going to welcome Pastor Dunstan to preach. It was just not happening. I had too many things in my head, and I couldn't figure out what I needed to say. It's like, no, it'll come. I'm like, no, Dunstan, I'm not you. This doesn't come as easy for me. And Pastor Ralph goes on and says, early this morning I'm walking in and he could see I'm nervous. He says, well, it's because you don't flex that muscle enough. We need you flexing that muscle more. I said, Pastor Ralph, I flex it enough when I'm standing worshiping. That's all I need to do. But this morning I want to speak to you from the book of it's actually 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Amen. Let's just bow our heads before we start. Father, we thank you because you are God. And when we gather here, we gather unto you and you only. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us because your word is life. Your word is that which brings the difference. Your word is that which transforms. So, Lord, come and speak to us this morning. I humble myself. I decrease and ask you to increase. I ask you to take over and speak to your people. For there is nothing I can say to them that can change their lives. But you have something that you can, you have a word that when they hear it, they will not remain the same. And so this morning, I rely on your ability because my ability is limited. I thank you, I praise you, and I honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through this, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. Peter was writing to the believers in a time when there was persecution. But he wrote 2 Peter to the people, warning them against the falsehood that was coming and the heresies in the church. Doesn't that sound like our time? There's persecution of the church, and there is heresy and falsehood running rampant in the church. But he wanted them to know that there was a solution. He wanted them to know that there was a way to overcome the heresies. He wanted them to lay hold of something. The false teaching undermined our faith, and he needed the people to grow in maturity in their faith, in their knowledge of God. First of all, Peter says, he starts by introducing himself and telling us that we have equal faith. That in essence, his Christianity and my Christianity are no different. Through the righteousness of God. It was not because of what he had, but it was through the righteousness of God. In essence, you know, sometimes you look at people, you say that person has more Jesus than me, has more Holy Spirit than me. No, he leveled the playing field and said, we are playing on the same plane. It is flat. There's no peaks for some and there's no valleys for some. It is even because Jesus, who died many years ago, gave salvation to Peter and still gives salvation to me. Nothing has changed about that. That means the same Christianity and the same faith he had, I have. You see, that's mind-blowing because you know what? Peter was a leader in the early church. Peter walked on water. Peter was with Jesus in the garden. Peter was right there at the cross. Peter made lots of mistakes, but he was there at the transfiguration. And now Peter is saying to us, we have exactly the same faith. I don't know. I look at Billy Graham and I say, wow, we have the same faith. Yes, we have the same faith. The difference is our maturity. And this is why Peter was emphasizing, people, build up your muscle. You need it. Then he goes on to say, I pray that grace and peace may be multiplied to you, that it may increase in you. But he just didn't say, let that happen. He said, through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you, as we get to know God, as we get to that place of relationship with God, grace begins to increase, peace begins to increase. Let me tell you, those are not things that we can stir up on the inside by ourselves. Those are things that are external of us, and God has to give it to us. Our environment does not allow us peace. It doesn't just come. It comes by being in that place with God. In that place of relationship with God. What is your relationship with God looking like? You see, the message says it nicely, makes it plain for all of us. It says, as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus, our Master, as we deepen, then grace multiplies, then peace multiplies, and it multiplies in you and you and you. Then it begins to multiply in the church, and when it begins to multiply in the church, it multiplies in our communities, then it multiplies in the world. But for as long as we do not deepen, grace and peace remain lacking in our lives and in the lives of those around us. He then tells us everything we need for life and godliness has already been given to us. I don't know if you don't, I hear, as I was looking at this, I'm like, this is a promise. This is something I can lay hold on. But there's a caveat again. Through the knowledge of God. You see, we have been given something already. But we can only lay hold of it in the knowledge of God. We have been given the power to live a godly life. And this power is divine in nature. This is the power of God. There can be no shortage of power if God is the source. This power has been given to us and continues to be given to us. You see, it's not something that was in the past only. That was in the past. It is here, present, and it will be present in the future. It has no limits. You see, the way of godliness and hope for eternal life do not lie inside of us by our own power. It comes from outside of us. It's nothing we can stir up. We can't produce it. We can't work towards it. We can't attain it. When it comes to life and godliness, it must be provided from outside of us. Again, it comes from our God. It comes from somebody exterior of me. I thank God it does, because I am limited. I am so limited. It implies that we could never be godly or attain eternal life if we do not rely on divine power. You see, the Christian life is not just about doctrines. It's not about rules. It is a power to be experienced. I don't know if you get that. The Christianity is not just doctrines. There is power in this relationship. There is power. I tell you the truth, if we were walking in that power, some things would look different in my life and your life. You see, when we ask people, do you know God? They begin to list the things they believe about Jesus Christ. Do you know God? Yeah, he walked on water. He did this. You know what the Bible says? Even the demons believe. So they are powerful believers. The difference is the power at work. The difference is the power. The difference is the Spirit of God. You see, let me give you an example. Peter, let's talk about Peter alone. This same man who wrote this book. Peter was seated in company with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He walked on water. He saw Jesus perform miracles. He lived. You know, we say, if I walked with Jesus, I probably wouldn't do what Peter did. A lie. We are just the same. Peter did all these things and had great company with God. But when it mattered most, he failed. When was that? When he was asked, were you with Jesus? Because there was something, there was pressure. He began to say, no, I don't know this man. I don't know who you're talking about. He denied him 3 times. Yet, he had walked with Jesus. But until Acts 2, when he sat in that place, waiting amongst his brethren, praying and calling on the name of God, then the power came down and the man began to stand and people were saved. 5,000 came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, not because of him, but because of the power that was at work within him. That's the same power we have today. That's the same power you have. But why do we walk like we don't have that power? Because our knowledge of him is lacking. It is short. We need to find ourselves in that place. Because if that power is not made manifest, then there's no sonship. Then you are not a son of God. Because the evidence is the power at work. And the mark of power is godliness, which means a love for the things of God and walk in the ways of God. In this verse, Peter is saying essentially that Jesus is sufficient. That God is sufficient. What do I need him to do today? I need him to make, when I'm going to visit some clients, I say, Jesus, if you don't help me and you down this road this morning. I do some difficult work, and sometimes I pray before I get in the house. If I lay hold of the truth that he's all sufficient and I need nothing else, I will not be doing things the way I do it. If I lay hold of this fact, I would hold my Bible every day, seeking to know him more. I would spend more time in prayer, seeking to touch his face. I would spend more time serving his people so that I can see his power at work. How do I tap into this power? Again, through the knowledge. What kind of knowledge are we talking about? It's not the intellectual knowledge, the one that just stays in the head. No. It is the experiential knowledge. It's that knowledge that has moved it from the head to the heart. And now I'm acting on it. Because I know. Have you ever had some people say, I know that I know that I know? Yes. Have you ever wondered if he's a healer? Yes, I have seen him as a healer. I know that I know that I know. Many of us are willing to learn about many things. We are willing to know about many things. But we are not willing to know God, Jesus. We want to know how to fix this. We want to know how to, but the answer is there. Because it has already been given. I need to find access to it. I need to go to the place of he that knows all things and is sufficient for all things. You see, when we get to know God, when we go into that place of relationship, you begin to see yourself as you are. And you begin to receive what he says about you. Then as he begins to say things about you, you begin to pursue that which he says about you. And that changes the way you live. You know, when you're sitting there and he says, no, I can't do it. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So as I begin to lay hold of that truth, I begin to live like that truth. You see, the reason why we allow ourselves to be defined by the things around us is because we have refused to have God define us. You see, if you spend time in the presence of God, you would get the definition of you. You'd get to understand your purpose. You'd get to understand who you are called to be. But for as long as we cannot find that place, my job will define me. The fact that I'm a mother will define me. The fact that I have good friends, that I have good companions. In fact, we sound like we have a Swiss knife. You know, it can do many things, multiple things. We begin to depend on our abilities because I can do, correct? But he's saying no. No, come and know who I have called you to be. Don't depend on those things because you know what? It will fail you. Time and time again, those things when they define you, fail you. But when God defines you, that is never changing. It is consistent. It has hope. It bypasses who I am. And it doesn't fail to recognize my weaknesses, but it gives me what I need to overcome that weakness. We need to understand our identity and what has been given to us in Christ. Christ has not only forgiven us, but he has fundamentally changed us. And that means we can live in a new way, in a different way. He then tells us these precious promises, great and precious promises that we are able to lay hold of. You know what? There is no way I'll know the treasure in those promises unless I get to know God. The Bible says he will always be with me. He says, fear not. That's a treasure. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a treasure. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely, goodness, and how will I know these promises if I don't through him? You see, as we wait for the promises to be made manifest in our life, our character begins to change. Grace begins to increase. Peace begins to increase. Then we begin to see the power of God at work in our lives. We live our life with a good fallback. You know what the fallback is? The promises of God. Not my abilities, but the promises of God. We live by the promises and stand strong on the promises of who he is. You know, those promises don't fail because his character doesn't fail. They're a reflection of him. They're him. His promises are sure. They will carry you in the darkest time and in your best times and everything in between. His promises are still strong for every situation. See, the emphasis in this scripture, I'm going to say it. We're going to read it again, and I want us to hear it. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as yours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God. His divine power has given us everything we need for life, for a godly life, through. And through this, he has given. The emphasis is through. Repeatedly, this verse uses through 5 times in 4 verses. It is allowing God to live through me, and I live through him. It is not about the do. We've become so obsessed with the do. Do will fail. Do has failed. Do has failed me. I want to give you my own story. August last year brought me to a turning point, I call it. I call it my August 3rd moment. I had been working. My work is highly stressful. Though I was dealing with extremely crisis situation, high crisis situations. I spent a lot of time in court. Court drains me. And then I was busy at home. I have 3 little beautiful children, 6, soon to be 5, and 2. Church was busy, running the worship ministry, everything was busy. I began or found myself in a place of complete overwhelm. Listen, I look like a put-together person. I like to believe I'm a put-together person. But this is me. I would be sitting somewhere and I was like, I can't do this anymore, and tears running down my face. I'm like, what is your problem? I would sit in Tim Hortons and I'd be looking at, please forgive me. Those who are more mature and have retired and are sipping a coffee, and I'm envying them. And I'm like, Jessica, you're in trouble. You have yet more life to live, but this is at that point, that's all. That was my, wow, this is what I needed. Just to sip a coffee calmly, just watching them do that. I went to see the doctor, and the doctor said, you have a choice. You either go off work today or tomorrow. I'm like, let's try something else. He said, no, Jessica. I've listened to you. It's either today or tomorrow. I'm going to write two letters with two dates. Take your pick. So I get to the car and say, I have two letters, Dunstan. I don't think I'll be giving any. He says, no, it's not happening. I went to work. I saw my manager. We had a good discussion. And I said, I have a letter from my doctor. But I don't think I'll give it in. Because to me, that was failure. Because to me, that was my weakness. Because to me, I was a disappointment. Because the list was long. And because she knows me well, after I left her office, I had a meeting to go to. When I came back, she said, well, the matter is now out of your hands. I gave the letter to the director already. I already told the director, that means you have no choice. It was one of the most difficult things for me to do because of who I am and how I've always felt and how I held myself together. But it was the best thing for me. It brought me face to face with my weaknesses. It brought me face to face with everything about me. And I was able to come through it by the grace of God. God showed up for me in that moment. And I'm still walking that moment as he teaches me daily that it's not about the do, it's about the through. I have for a long life lived as a Christian, even as a Christian, lived with the do's and not through. And that moment brought me to my knees. I am so thankful for it. I am thankful for that moment. You know, Simon Peter's moment was in the presence of God when the Holy Spirit hit him. It stopped being about all the other things. It became about the Spirit of God. Being a believer does not only bear benefit for being up in heaven, for going to heaven, a guarantee for the by and by. It has returns for me as I live life daily here. It's an investment that I can reap reward from. It enables me to go through every day of my life. It enables me to do that which I see in my own ability I can't. It gives me the strength to keep going. It gives me hope in hopeless situations. Listen, we need to do life differently. And if we find that we're lacking in the power, then we need to spend more time with God. Because as we get into God's word, we learn of who he is. Then we need to spend more time in prayer and communicate with him, and he speak to us and instruct us and direct us. Then we need to get active in working in the king community of God. Because then we see his power at work. Then we need, above all, to commit our life to being obedient to him and doing that which he instructs us to do. You see, God has the power to transform us. But there's a part we need to then act on what he reveals to us. This is a joint effort. He is transforming us. But as he reveals, we need to act on it. You see, God delights in taking ordinary, weak, and stumbling people and changing them into godly people who are bold in their faith. We need to allow him to live through us, and we live our lives through him. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to live this life but through him. We thank God. Ralph.
It's an incredibly powerful word. Amen. Our God has given us everything, everything we need. When we allow the world to define us, we so miss it. We need to allow, I really like that, we need to allow God to begin to define us. It tells me we need to keep pressing in to know Him. Amen. We need to keep pressing in. That journey doesn't stop. So that instead of our doing, we're living through Him. Love that. I want to preach that message all over again. It's so good. God is so good. I want to, as the worship team comes, I want to open up this altar. If you need prayer this morning, maybe you just need to come and spend time in His presence. You've been touched by the Word this morning, and you recognize maybe you're allowing yourself to be defined by the world. You've come under the pressure and you need to stop. And you need God to touch you deep in your spirit. Maybe you've come to the end of your strength and you're sitting in that coffee shop and you just want to stop. I want to invite you to come into His presence and let His divine power begin to fill you and flow through you once again. He's here this morning. He's here. And He's here. And His heart is to cause His divine power to be released in us. His heart is that we do live through Him. All of His promises are yes and amen to us. So I don't want us to miss this moment. I want us to not respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. So if you're feeling the Holy Spirit touching you to say, I need to do business, I want to invite you to come to this altar. And I want to invite you to open up your heart and allow the God that we've heard about this morning, that His divine power would begin to work in you afresh and anew. He would encourage you. He would strip away anxiety and pressure and all of those things. And He would begin to fill you afresh with who He is. So that your life is no longer defined by the outside, but rather it's defined by Him. Amen.
Excuse me.
Amen. So let's all stand together as the worship team leads us. The altar is open.